Morning. We're glad that you're here today. It's glad to have those that are visiting. Hope that you'll come back and be with us again. We'll meet this afternoon. This morning, I want to begin with you a new series based on the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to call this series, How to Have the Good Life. And don't get me wrong, this is not going to be some kind of health and wealth type of series, but I do believe that the book of Proverbs does teach us a lot about having the good life if we'll follow the wisdom that's in this book. And it's going to be a topical study as we go through the book. Some look at the Bible as just a collection of books that contain spiritual platitudes, and they don't really consider applying the things that are found in it to their daily life. They don't see that it has a lot of relevance to them in the way that they daily live. And, sometimes when we are studying the Word of God, we can study it from an academic point of view. We might look at the meaning of Hebrew and Greek words and sometimes forget that we need to look at these practical things that we need to apply to our life. I think Proverbs is probably one of the more practical of the books when we see the wisdom that is given to us in the book. It's not necessarily a very long book, but it's got a lot of things in it that will help us. The setting of the Proverbs is a father teaching his son how to have the good life. Now, if you look at verse 8 of Proverbs chapter 1, it says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." So I can imagine Solomon here acting how parents do from time to time when parents try to impart words of wisdom to their children. And I know that when we're children, when we're younger, this is a point. If my dad were trying to tell me something, I would maybe internally roll my eyes, because if I actually rolled my eyes, the result wouldn't have been too good. But what we do sometimes is we don't pay attention to those things and don't learn from those things as we might, because there were certainly times when I was growing up that I felt like I had listened to my father for a long time and that I had just about heard everything that he had to say, three or four times. And so sometimes you have an attitude about that. We think that we've learned everything that we need to know, or we may think that we have learned at least everything that we need to know from that particular person in our lives. Or maybe we even think that they don't understand me, that my mom and dad don't understand my problems, that they don't understand, and maybe they could apply some wisdom to what they went through back in the dark ages, in the horse and buggy days, but they can't really help me now because I'm going through things that they've never experienced. Just hypothetical that sometimes that happens, that we think others don't understand us, that times have changed. And really, that's not just a childish problem. It's not just a young person's problem. It's a problem that many people have with life in general, that we don't always want to listen to the wise experiences of other people. One thing that we do in the business world, if somebody is going to speak to you, a lot of times we look at their credentials or we looked at their LinkedIn profile to see, do they have good advice to impart? I just met somebody the other day that didn't necessarily make a great impression on several of us that were talking to this individual. And so when I went and looked at their profile on LinkedIn, it was like they had bounced around from job to job for a long period of time. And it kind of solidified some of the things that we might have been thinking, because this person doesn't seem to have wisdom in certain areas. And so we kind of prejudge people sometimes that, well, they're not going to help me. They're not in the same situation as me. But there are those that do have wisdom. There are those that have been through things. There are those that we want to listen to because of their relationship with God that we know or can see is solid in their life. So the older have knowledge and experience to share, but maybe sometimes because of our age, we don't necessarily listen. But when we look at the book of Proverbs and we understand, you know, who really is the Father, you know, the Father is God, and God is imparting wisdom to us, and He desires for us to sit at His feet and learn what it is that will help us, you know, be wise in the way that we live our life. So are we going to listen to God is the question. Do we really trust God enough to sit down and listen to what He has to say? Or do we think that, you know, this isn't relevant to us? Or do we think that, you know, this was relevant at one time and now it's not, so we don't really listen to it the way that we should? So we want to make practical applications from this book to our life. We don't want to just hear platitudes and spiritual applications that are not applied to us. We want to actually apply these things. Many times when people are reading the Scriptures, they're very familiar with topics about forgiveness of sins and the grace of God and how all that works together. But when you turn to something like the book of Proverbs, it gets a little bit more personal because it's telling you that you're acting in ways that are foolish. That the things that you are doing, the paths that you're going down, are foolish. One writer summed up the purpose of Proverbs this way: the purpose of a proverb is to help one choose the best course of action among those available. The foolish way is to be avoided and the wise way is to be followed. That's a real simplistic explanation, really easy for us to understand, that there's a right way and a wrong way, there's a wise way and a foolish way, and what we need to do is to be smart enough to follow the wise way. And the book of Proverbs helps us do that. But we're not going to have the life that God wants us to have if we approach Proverbs with the same kind of defensiveness that we approach, you know, others that are trying to guide us in a wise way. And those, you know, keep going back to the illustration of parents. As there's different times in our life as children that we're very defensive or very resistant to advice. That's not the way that we want to be with God. That's not the way that we want to be with the book of Proverbs. We want to learn from this instruction. With that said, you know, the book of Proverbs is not, you know, some, you know, magic pill that means that if you do these things that you're always going to be healthy and wealthy. It's not a magic wand that you wave so that you never have suffering, never have troubles, never have problems. But, you know, some of the things that we'll see in this book can help us avoid having some problems. Some of our problems are externally put upon us by others or situations that we can't avoid. But there's other problems that we have that are self-inflicted. And if we can avoid self-inflicted problems by following the wisdom that's in God's Word, that would be very helpful. It's very helpful to see a warning sign on the street. You know, just the other day I was driving back from Atlanta and I was talking to someone on the phone, and I was, you know, really tuned into what I was talking about on the phone, and I passed a sign that said something about something in the road ahead that was going to cause a big delay. And I didn't really see what it said, but by the time it registered in my mind, I had passed the exit that would have helped me avoid that, and it took me about 6 hours to get home from Atlanta the other day. So there was a warning there, and I was not keyed into that warning. And it would have helped me if I had followed the advice, whatever that advice was on that sign. So the Proverbs help us in that way. They help us to make wise decisions, godly decisions, so that we don't bring more trouble to our lives because we avoid heeding those kind of warnings. Foolish decisions are going to bring more pain. And wise decisions are going to help us avoid pain. Very simple to understand that. So just in the way of introduction, I wanted to say that we want to look at the book of Proverbs and reduce the defensiveness that we have sometimes when somebody wants to give us advice and realize where this advice comes from. So we're going to look this morning, in a way of introduction, in the first few verses of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, to understand words of insight, to receive instructions in wise, dealing in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and let the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Sometimes when you buy a book, before you get into the meat of the book, there's a preface that lets you know what you're about to expect. And that's exactly what we have here. These first six or seven verses record Solomon's purpose in giving this instruction and declaring these proverbs. And it's not merely just stating these reasons for offering these proverbs. It seems to also be convincing the son that's going to be learning from this the advantages of this wisdom. Here's what the advantages of this biblical wisdom are. So this morning we want to look at the four things that are mentioned in these verses that show how biblical wisdom excels the wisdom that's in the world. First of all, God's wisdom is very practical. I think you'll see that throughout this book. And we also know who wrote this, and he prayed for wisdom, and God blessed him mightily in that regard. But God's wisdom is very practical. One of the things that you'll see if you go to Barnes & Noble or Books A Million is there's certainly a lot of self-help books for lots of different areas. If you have some kind of problem, there's somebody that has written a book about it. And sometimes people come up with useful nuggets of wisdom. And there are others that don't and simply state nonsense. And there are those who think they have wisdom, but the wisdom is impractical and not useful. I know that our society has gotten away from reading books a lot of times. And I saw something humorous on Facebook the other day that if you want to encourage your children to read, turn the volume down on the TV and put on the closed captioning. And then congratulations, now they're reading. And that might be the extent of the reading that a lot of people have. But the things that we have access to are not always the most helpful. In fact, I look for a lot of instruction on the internet. If a customer of mine has an issue, I'll Google your friend on that, and I'll look for an answer to it. But sometimes the first answer I get, I know this is too complicated. This is not, I know enough about this situation that I know that this is not the right answer, or I think there's a better answer than this. So you keep looking. And so you have to be careful about the advice that you get. And, the Chinese philosopher Confucius is one that, people quote a lot. And I know that, there are probably some nuggets that he said that were useful, but, came across a couple that really don't make a lot of sense to me. And I couldn't believe that this was something that Confucius said, because I've heard this statement made a lot of times. I didn't know it was attributed to him. And it is the statement, and remember, no matter where you go, there you are. I always thought that was a joke. But that's something that Confucius said. And, you know, and that's, you know, Captain Obvious, isn't it? That's something that wherever you go, there you are. And that's something that Confucius said. And another thing that he said is never give a sword to a man who can't dance. Now, I know you're thinking, what does that mean? And I think a good proverb is one that you don't have to say, well, what does that mean? Well, I researched what did Confucius mean when he said never give a sword to a man that can't dance? When what he meant is that a person that's mighty in war, that has an anger problem and doesn't have the other areas of his life that are balancing out. So the dancing side of the life is the happy part of the life, the carefree, the one that knows how to have a balanced life, not just concerned about war, but also knows how to have fun and be happy. So don't give a sword to a man that's not well balanced in his life was the idea. So you see, that's somebody that's supposed to be, you know, very wise, and certainly did write a lot of so-called proverbs. But, you know, one characteristic of biblical wisdom is that it is very practical to daily life, and we need to take advantage of that. Solomon is teaching his son here to pay attention to this. For acquiring, giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. So he's encouraging his son to acquire this, acquire discipline, acquire prudence. It means that this wisdom that you're going to get is going to help you have a better life now. And so it's very practical in its nature, and it really extends to all ages and levels of maturity. Revised Standard Version says, for teaching shrewdness to the simple. Teaching those, they're simple to be shrewd, to be smart. And it reveals that these proverbs are going to help those who might be a little bit more inexperienced in life or have a lack of knowledge. Here's knowledge that is going to help you. And it's going to make you make better, wiser decisions in your everyday life. The Proverbs gives prudence, as some translations have it in verse 4, that it's going to help those who are younger in age. Knowledge and discretion to the young. And Solomon's not talking about, you know, book knowledge, but rather talking about, you know, discretion. And it's being taught here to those that are young to make proper decisions in life. And, you know, as parents, you know, parents hopefully spend years trying to teach children how to behave, how to use discretion to make good common sense decisions. And, you know, one of my dad's favorite expressions was, you know, some people just don't have horse sense. And I never really understood what that meant, although I knew what it meant. He's saying that he's using that in a way that we use the word common sense, that some people just don't have common sense. They may have book learning, but they don't have common sense and discretion. And that's what Solomon is getting at here, the ability to make proper decisions in life. And parents want that for their children, to make good common sense decisions that, unfortunately, sometimes common sense is not very common. But we need to do this in such a way that we are applying biblical wisdom. It's critical. It's a great component of the kind of training that we should have for ourselves and for our families. The wise writer says, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and the discerning get guidance. So God is telling us that these teachings are very practical to our daily lives, and we all need to listen. Also, God's wisdom is enlightening. It should not be something that you read it and think, well, huh, that was a waste of time. It's never a waste of time. The words of God are going to enlighten our minds. In verse 2, it says, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight. to receive instruction in the wise, dealing in righteousness, justice, and equity. So the purpose is for people to learn wisdom and discipline and to understand wise sayings. And Solomon is saying this not just to talk, but these words are going to help us find wisdom. They're going to help us find insight and understanding. And who doesn't want that? I mean, only those that are very, very foolish would not want to be wise. Just about anybody, even the most foolish, you would think that they would say, yes, they would rather be wise. They would desire wisdom, they would desire insight, and that's what God gives us here in the book of Proverbs. It gives us, you know, to open the doors of understanding. So God's wisdom is enlightening, and I hope as we go through this series that there will be things that will enlighten us, and if not enlighten us, it's going to reinforce things that we already know that we need to refocus on and make sure that we are consistent in applying those principles. Also, Proverbs here tells us that God's wisdom is moral. To receive instruction in wise dealing in righteousness, justice, and equity. God's wisdom is moral. Now, much of the wisdom in the world is to get others before they get you, right? To strike out at others before they strike you. And, when the show The Apprentice was on, if you remember, if you watched that show, there was a short segment where Trump or whoever was on there would be giving business advice or life advice. And a lot of the advice that you see from those in business would be to get others before they were able to get you. And that may be the advice that you get from many people in the world today. But biblical wisdom is different than that. To receive instruction, here it says, it involves wise behavior. It involves righteousness. It involves justice and equity. In other words, the Proverbs are not going to teach you, the answer to all your problems is to live more selfishly than you already are living. To think about yourself more than you're already thinking. To try to acquire more for yourself than you're already acquiring. Now, that's what wisdom you'll get from the world, and it's not always said in that way. Most people are not going to say the key to your success is to be more selfish and to be more self-centered and to think only of yourself and to trample over others. But many times that's the end result of the advice that the world might offer. Rather, we are to live a life full of righteousness. The wisdom here that's imparted to us is righteousness, justice, and fairness, and worldly wisdom doesn't really reflect that. Worldly wisdom is about being selfish and doing the things that are in your own best interest. So the wisdom that you see here in the book of Proverbs shows you how to act righteously and how that's positively going to benefit your life. Also, God's wisdom is going to bring answers. In verse 6, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. So this sentence sounds a little odd, but what Solomon is saying is that we will be able to learn about and deal with the mysteries of life through biblical wisdom. And that's probably one of the greatest aspects of God's wisdom is the ability for us to deal with situations that don't always make sense to us. We typically want answers to everything. And the longer that you live, the more that you understand that there are things that you don't know and things that you may not know. And that troubles us. We want to think that everything happens for a reason, and so we set out to find what the reason is for that. And, there's a time that I thought, my dad had an answer for everything. And as I got older and I started asking him more difficult questions, especially when it came to the Word of God, and I'd say, well, what does this mean? And he said, well, it could either mean A, B, or C. I said, well, which one is it? I don't know which one it is. There was something, he said, I might think that it thinks this, but there's other people that think this. And I want you to tell me which one it is. I want you to tell me the answer. I want you to explain it to me. And so the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of others, is not always there for us. It doesn't always give us the answers that we want. But biblical wisdom can hopefully help us understand the mysteries of life and deal with the difficulties, and to help us through the times where we're lost. And the verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So it's all about the fear of the Lord, the respect for the Lord. And that's going to help us through these times. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. So to begin the pursuit to live this life that's going to use biblical wisdom, you have to let the Lord be the one that you have your trust in. So the starting point for you is to fear the Lord. And then everything else falls into play. So what does it mean to fear God? There's a couple things that we can note on that. What does it mean to fear God? Well, it means that we have awe and reverence for God. One of the songs I think really communicates that well is "Our God, He is Alive." It's always been one of my favorite songs. What was it, 628B in the old songbook? And never knew why it didn't deserve its own number. It just got a sub number. But it was one of my favorite songs, and it really talks about the awe that we have for God and what He did in creation. Now, there is a God, He is alive. Well, what has He done? He's created the heavens and the earth. And so Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13, Isaiah described this fear or reverence for God very well. "The Lord Almighty is the one that you are to regard as holy. He is the one that you are to fear. He is the one that you are to dread." So we are called to be in awe and have a deep-seated respect for the holiness of God. Do we have that respect for God? You need to have that, because that's the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom begins in recognizing where we are, who we are, in the sight of God. One of the things that bothers us a lot of times is when we see somebody that doesn't have the proper respect for someone else, especially, you know, maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's somebody that's in the place of authority, and you see that there are those, you know, kids don't have any respect for that person. Or it might be an officer of the law, where the person is talking back to that individual who has authority to take care of the situation, but they're not being respectful of that. And you know, there's a lot of these shows on television where you see that, where you see somebody in a situation where they're not being respectful, and you see the temperament of the person that's being disrespected, and many times they're very calm in the way that they handle those situations, even though they're not receiving the respect that they deserve. And I know that's a problem in society, but ultimately, if we don't have respect for God, that's a really bigger issue. To begin to have a better life now and a better life in the future, it really requires us seeing God as He is, with respect that He deserves, where He is or who He is in regard to purity and holiness. And, you know, we will experience the fear of the Lord and the dread that Isaiah speaks about, because, you know, we're not really, you know, deserving to be in His presence. But He's allowed us to be in His presence. He's allowed us to come to Him through the gift of His Son that gives us the ability to be united with Him. So we have awe and reverence. That's part of the fear of God. But the other part of fear is that we need to have obedience. Obedience. This is the part that many people fall down on. So if we see ourselves for who we are, and seeing God for who He is, it's going to cause us to submit to the will of God. Psalm 33, verse 18, fear God, or now the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, who depend on His faithful love. Also, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So both of these aspects, the awe that we should have and the obedience, really help us put ourselves into the right posture when it comes to listening to the wisdom of God. Why should I listen to anything that's written in Proverbs? Why should I listen to what Solomon has to say? Well, why should the disciples, listen to Jesus? Well, He was the master teacher. And we have the ability to sit at the feet of the master teacher and learn from the wise words that are imparted to us here. It's not just enough to listen. We have to act on it. And it's very obvious, very simple concept, but go back to what we said at the beginning of the lesson. We have the ability sometimes to sit at the feet of others who are able to impart knowledge to us, and we'll make judgments about whether or not they're qualified to give us knowledge. And we either open our minds or we close our minds to them based on our perception of them. We should have no lack of perception of who God is and who Solomon is, and that this word was imparted to us by the Holy Spirit. I should never go to this word with a closed mind thinking, well, I hope that you have something good for me today, and to be critical of the source. We need to open our minds and open our hearts to this. And so when we look at the wise words that God has given us here throughout this series, just forget, for the 30 minutes that I'm talking, that it's me talking, because you may not want me to be the source. I'm not trying to be the source. I want to impart what's here and make it practical. And God has made this very practical for us. The book of Proverbs is a wonderful book, and it covers so many different areas of our life in so few pages. Too often people want to live a good life, but they don't want to do anything to get it. They don't want to, they just want to do nothing. But, I don't know who said this proverb that we use a lot today, the definition of insanity, that, you're going to get different results by doing the same thing over and over. That's the definition of insanity. And I know those of you in business have heard that over and over and over. And so maybe the definition of his insanity is to continue talking about the definition of insanity. But the point is we're not going to have a better life if we continue to do things in the wrong way. That we have to go to the wisdom that God has given us so that we can experience that. It all starts out, as the wise writer said, with fearing God and keeping his commandments. And part of that is listening to his instruction. So this, just a quick, basic introduction to what we're going to be covering over the next few weeks as we go through the book of Proverbs and look at this in a topical way. I hope it'll be useful to you and help you be able to live a better life and to be more pleasing to God, and that you will benefit from the wisdom that God has given us, and you can use that to impart it to others as well. If we can help in any way, be obedient to the gospel of Christ. We invite you to stand and sing.